Thank you.
You're welcome.
It is June the 26th, 2012. This is a special board meeting of the CANUTO ISD Board of Trustees. It is 6:16 p.m. And Tony, could you please call roll?
Mrs. Cáceres? Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Strauss?
Here. And Mrs. Cáceres called to say she wouldn't be coming. And that would take us to the first agenda item.
Item 2 is a public hearing regarding the 2012-13 budget and tax rate. Second.
Did provide a copy of the presentation that I'll be reviewing this evening. I did add a couple of different items, and I'll mention as we go through the presentation. On this slide, you'll basically see the different items that I will be discussing, topics I will be discussing from our property tax rate and property valuations, revenue estimates, the breakdown of the budget allocations by campus department function and object code, discussion of the budget priorities that were brought forth by different committees, and then we've got the section of the public comment and then the motions to adopt the budget and the tax rate. On this slide, you will find the projected campus enrollment for the next 2012-2013 school year. The per campus allocation per student has not changed from prior year of $115 per high school student, $100 per middle school student, and $90 per elementary. We have a projection of a 2% increase from our current year enrollment, which brings us to enrollment of 6,156 students. Again, as I've mentioned in the past, enrollment and the ADA are two different numbers. We get funded by ADA. However, our enrollment is the number of children we have to provide instruction to regardless of their attendance and revenue that comes forth. On this slide, we've got our property tax rate that we'll be proposing for adoption. Maintenance and operations of $1.17 and our interest and sinking fund, which is also our debt service fund, of 0.252100. I will note that the IMS rate has not changed from the last 2 years. We've maintained that same tax rate. On this slide, you will see the calculator rollback tax rate. As I mentioned earlier, our tax rate will be at $1.42 combined maintenance and INS. Our preliminary net taxable valuations are at $1,649,287,821. Proposing the maintenance and operation rate of $1.17. Under debt service, we are expecting to pay out of property taxes collected $5.2 million of our debt service requirement, and that'll put us at a debt service tax rate of 0.25. On this slide is the impact of tax rates on our average homeowner. I have two columns. One is our 2011.
Just real quick on our debt service, which is going to be paid for towards our bonds, right?
Yes.
Have we gotten any update, or what do we know about when it comes to our future debt service and how we're going to deal with it?
Yes, the next increase in debt service will be of 8 cents. That is what was proposed by our financial advisors. And then the subsequent year will be at the full tax rate. I don't have that number right in front of me right now, but the full impact of the increase in the...
Because we put in a certain amount for the first couple of years and then going into a different...
Then it would increase, and then it'll be solely on the taxpayer to increase their tax rate. That would be an increase. The first increase will be of 8 cents. That one, and it's the fall. This
it's not this fiscal year. It's the next fiscal year.
Yes, that's correct.
And so part of the bond issue when we went out to the voters was that we would stay at this rate.
Yes.
And looking at our tax base, which is growing, is that actually going to bring that amount down, or
yes,
the $0.08?
As our tax base increases, although we're projecting right now that $0.08 increase, if our valuations considerably, then that the burden on that $0.08 will be lessened, and it'll be a lesser increase on the tax rate.
Do we know that? And the other question with our existing debt allotment, when is the exact date that we have to actually look at that? Because I know
I know Jeff is already working. He's provided some information. I know that in August is when we get numbers that we provide to for the submit for EDA. I don't have an exact date on that.
Okay, can you get that to us? And
sure.
I guess when we will be having a presentation from our financial advisors, at least, because I believe, especially on the existing debt allotment and some of the other issues we need to look at before the legislative session goes into play.
So,
that's all I have for right now.
Thank you.
On the average homeowner slide, I provided you with a 2011-12 average appraised value and the 2012-13 average appraised value. Our average home in Gunapico was at $140,000. However, for this proposed 2012-13 year, the El Paso Central Appraisal District is proposing $144,000 average home in Gunapico. Considering the homestead exemption of the $15,000, you are looking at a taxable value of $129,000 for this upcoming year. With our tax rate at $1.42, the property tax levy from your average homeowner will be at $1,843 for the year. That's an increase of $57 from last year to this year.
Madam Chair, just another question. And going back to the campus enrollment projections, the per capita campus, and then as well as our average appraised value, just something of concern that I would like to see in the next year as well, to get a better understanding is what the market is around, or what the average appraised value is, let's say for El Paso and Anthony, and then maybe the two or three other districts, so that way we get a better understanding of where we might be going.
I can provide that at the finance committee meeting that's coming up in New York. I have those numbers.
Maybe for the next year, if you have those numbers, that would be great. But that way, we get a better understanding of, okay, this is
comparison.
Yeah, and the other thing is the per capita campus allocations. I would like to see what other districts are doing and how they actually allocate that money when it comes to per capita and per campus and per student.
Okay.
So. That's all I have for you.
Okay, this slide was not provided to you yesterday. However, let me review. This is our property valuations. Historically going back 3 years and then moving forward 3 years. Of course, the moving forward 3 years are projections based on the historical data that we have in our valuations. I did communicate with our financial advisors as well as the El Paso CAD office and requested that they provide additional information to ensure that we're on target with our projections. What I've done is on this slide, the blue line with the asterisk, the year with the asterisk is an appraisal year. And so typically that is the higher, we usually have a higher increase on that appraisal year. Noting that approximately we have about an average of a 5% increase annually, and this is an average because between 2010 and 2011, we actually had a decrease in property valuations of a negative 0.1. So on an average, it's about an increase of 5%. However, on an appraisal year, we can, you know, we have an 8%, I'm sorry. And this current year, as I mentioned yesterday, we were at a 9.5% increase. So just on an average, is we determine these numbers. We're looking at 12-13, of course, at a $1.6 billion in property valuations, which brings us, at a tax rate of $1.17, brings us $18 million in revenue. In 2013 through 2014, we are looking or projecting for a property valuations at $1.7 billion, which will equal $19.8 million in revenue to our district. And the year 2014-15, we're looking at $1.8 billion in property valuations with a projected revenue for our district of 21.4. And the last one that I've provided for you is a 2015-16 with a projected valuations of $1.9 billion, giving us property valuations of $22.1 million in revenue. Again, with more buildings coming up and the different infrastructures that may come up, this projection is conservative, just to ensure that we don't inflate our numbers. And then. Mm-hmm. Any questions on this one? For this current year, as mentioned earlier, our 2012 property valuations preliminary, because they are not certified until July, at the end of July, we are projecting $1.6 billion in property valuations. And this, as I stated, was a 9.5 increase from last year's property valuations of $1.4 billion. On this slide, I'm reflecting what our property valuations and how what that equals in property revenue for the district. Taking the property valuation of $1.6 billion, dividing it by $100 per home, multiplying by our current tax rate, and then multiplying by our collection rate of 98%, we are projecting $18.9 million in tax levy for properties. And this is a revenue that the district will see.
Does that say 19?
18.9. Go to 2012. Are you comparing to the previous slide?
Oh, I see your 18. I'm with you.
Okay. Projected revenue estimates. I have a comparison from 2012 to 2013. I'll review the 2013 with our local sources to include our property taxes. We are expecting $20.9 million in revenue. Under state sources, we are looking at $26 million in state revenue. And under federal and other sources, we are projecting $4.4 million. I know Ms. Quintana mentioned yesterday or asked an increase on food service. And so, as you can see, our federal revenue did increase, and hence they ended up with additional funds in their program. Overall, we're seeing a $51.4 million budget for the 2012-2013 school year. And that's an increase of $3 million as compared to last year's budget. This is in consideration of our 2% increase in refined ADA from 5,600 students this current year to 5,700 in ADA. This slide will present the campus allocations, the budget by campus allocations. As mentioned previously, we have salaries included in this, and so that is where you can see that the numbers are considerably higher than as opposed to last year's allocations. On this slide, you see the budget allocation by department. Would you like for me to review the breakdowns as I mentioned them yesterday, or do I continue?
I'm fine with you continuing unless something's changed from yesterday. Okay. Does the rest of the board feel that way? That'll be fine.
On this slide, we've got our budget allocation by class object. Nothing has changed. It says we presented yesterday, last evening, with a breakdown by salaries, compensation, general supplies, and other miscellaneous operating. This budget allocation, because it is the board adopts the budget by function, is a breakdown by function. This too was reviewed yesterday. If you'd like to have any questions on any specific,
everything's the same.
The same.
Anybody have any questions?
On this slide, you will see additional positions that were added based on recommendations at the needs assessments that were held with each individual campus principal, leadership personnel committee, superintendent, and board of trustees recommendations. The These are already part of the budget. The dollars are part of the budget. However, not all positions may have been hired at this point. And so there's a breakdown by campus and the type of position that was added. As mentioned yesterday, the bottom portion where it says two clerical assistants, one in testing and one in internal audit, is still under consideration and will be brought forth, is my understanding, at a future board policy meeting. On this slide, it are additional budget priorities. These are budget priorities that were compiled by the DAC, then leadership and cabinet recommendations. These are also allocations that have already been incorporated into the budget with technological upgrades, additional focus to the pre-K-8 for fine arts, library resource materials, staff development, technology, training for the technology that's been incorporated, competitive compensation package, and consideration of additional positions. And this is the same slide that has been presented.
I have a question on the pre-K-8 fine arts. Is it just to bring that school up to the same grade as our other schools?
No. When we refer to pre-K-8, is that last year the focus was mainly on secondary campuses as far as the band uniforms and instruments at the secondary level.
I understand that.
I mean all the schools.
All
okay,
schools.
I understand.
The keyboard at Davenport.
On this slide, we have additional budget priorities that were brought forth either by recommendations the board requested or administration. As I mentioned, the yellow items, the two yellow items, were part of salary, part of the maintenance and operation budget, because we don't recommend any salary positions funded out of fund balance. And then the blue section were additional priorities brought forth that were recommended and approved by the board last night to be taken out of fund balance. This slide is our proposed revenue less expenditures. This was changed only because we have allocated the funds that were presented and recommended for board approval, and now they've been incorporated into the budget expenditures. So our projected revenues are at $51.4 million. Our budgeted expenditures are at $51.4 million with the revenues less expenditures of zero. What I did is that $89,000 that were left there have been placed in a Function 11, which is instructional, under a salary account with a 999 organization. So as a need comes, if it's desired, then we can allocate into the proper line item. But it's, at this point, it's like a contingency fund.
I'd like to go back one slide on the marquee, the CHS marquee.
Okay.
Just for the record, nobody's going to take down the one downtown, are they? There's no talk of anything about the downtown. Yes, Dr. Murphy.
And Ms. Searles, you and I have talked about that, and the desire of the board is that if we do anything to the one downtown, it's simply to improve the existing structure, leaving the stone pillars and improving maybe the actual marquee sign.
Okay, thank you.
But we had an initial thought of putting a modern marquee down there. But we understand if the board approves this tonight, you know, we have several marquee needs around the district. It says CHS marquee. The notion of replacing the CHS one and then moving the CHS one to one of our middle schools. The problem is the high school sign says Canyon Teo High School on it, nice and big, so it would have to be redone. So I think the board, if the board wants to approve this, they need to understand that the money might not all be about CHS. It also is about moving and installing and repairing and changing with that amount. And to satisfy all the marquee needs, we would probably need more than $80,000, and that this would only be a portion to get it off. A new marquee is approximately $50,000. That's a middle school sized one. The high school one, it's just we'll be able to make some steps toward marquee improvement with this, and maybe we need to change that to marquee improvement, district-wide marquee improvement, and not just CHS. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And I think what we ought to do is maybe contact, when we go to, in September, to go to the TASB conference, we might want to contact the sign people, because they usually have specials that apply only during the conference. And we might want to approve some, because we might be able to pick up a couple for the middle schools, or one for the middle school for maybe somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000. Complete. They usually have specials along with purchase it during that time, so we ought to consider contacting them before maybe approving administration to be able to purchase it in an amount of not to exceed whatever, $20,000. We might want to do, actually, we might want to consider doing purchasing one for the middle school and one for the new PK through 8 at that time.
Which would all be able to fall under Dr. Murphy's heading of, instead of district-wide CHS,
marquee.
District-wide marquee, and I think that would be much more appropriate.
And knowing that 80,000 is the step and it's not the full.
Okay.
We very well have to come back next year and on it again to really fix everything that we need. But I agree, the marquee at certainly at Alderete is very much lacking, CMS as well, at least, true. The high school one is, you can't read it as you drive by. And then the new pre-K is going to need one as well. Of course, we should have that in the budget.
I would like to mention that through board resolution, these items were provided on the resolution on the fund balance designation. We can always, because the board has the authority.
And it says marquee already.
So next month, I can bring forward a resolution where we modify to say district-wide. And
that would be appropriate. Thank you, Ms. Aguirre.
Can just, I have a, I guess my understanding was one, I mean, there's other issues that we could look at, and that could come out of some of the budget money, and there's some issues that I still have concern with, but overall, I guess my main concern when looking at our policy when it comes to our fund balance, and where we have the max, which would be the 10.4, and saying that we need to spend, that's a major concern of mine. But the other concern is, and so I wish we could have had clarification so that way I could have a better understanding of where I wanted to go. But our policy states from that range, and so I don't want to go above our policy. I'm glad we're actually now within the policy, but it's still, some questions that I have, whether the optimal policy or, you know, what is recommended. I know for sure you want 3 months. The training we've had in conferences is a 3 month, for sure. And so miniature compared to our budget stuff, it just comes a concern when we put that in our fund balance as a designated instead of some of the issues that we can, because this, some of this issue should be part of our budget, and the other issues that are major concern should be part of our undesignated or whatever that may be. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yes, the concept of committing the fund certain amounts into fund balance into different areas is, that doesn't, in other words, you still have it in fund balance, and I'll use the cafeteria, Northwest Early College cafeteria.
Which is an okay issue to have on fund balance.
Basically, through the years, it's been, the funds have been sitting there unused. So there's still, you as a board have the authority that if you find that you have a bigger priority, you can turn around and say, we're going to forego the marquees and focus on whatever your issue or priority comes to.
You as a CFO should say, okay, like the field trips, that should be part of our budget.
However, the allocations and when the salaries and everything was brought forth and approved, the consideration is that there's only so much money within our budget. And I guess the only thing I can recommend right now that we're moving forward with the audit, it's looking very good. We've cleared payroll and a lot of the PIG requirements that last year forced us to reclassify many salaries. We're there. There's no issues and management points that they felt needed to be brought forth. It's preliminary, but I guess my feeling is that in addition to the $1 million that we recaptured this current year, there may be additional funds that I can bring forth and perhaps you designate and not feel like you're taking from the fund balance that's already sitting there.
And so I understand that this would be my opinion, and if we didn't have our fund balance where it is, I would say, you know what, the technology infrastructure is one, laptops for Northwest Early College is another, and pretty much everything else, I would say, you know what, if we didn't have the fund balance, I would say, you know what, everything else should be cut.
Another consideration you need to keep in mind also is as we get ready for this new legislation coming up here, if the state finds itself in a bind and looking for
and that's why I'm saying, I understand
considering
that.
Considering our fund balances, as you committed, you they won't touch that because you've committed.
I understand that, and that's where I'm getting at, is we're looking at, you know, our budget, and we're saying, okay, these issues, you know, the infrastructure, the remodeling, not the remodeling, but the Northwest Early College High School cafeteria, the other, the addition to, is part of, you know, issues where you say, okay, these are issues that we need to get into our fund balance to dip into. But when I start seeing financial report writer and, you know, it's just not, that should be part of the budget. That shouldn't be part of, let's dip into fund balance. I understand we need to dip into fund balance, and I'm one of those that wouldn't want to dip into fund balance, but I know where our policy states, and I don't know what is optimal, and I see where the legislator is coming, and that's why I understand that we need to dip into that. But when we're looking at our priority list, and we're putting that as, you know, when you're looking at our designated funds, to say that we're going to have that as a priority to, you know, put, you know, $15,000 for customer service training and the $50,000 for asset management, it's like, this is part of your budget. This should be part of your budget. You know, issues that we need to dip into fund balance when it comes to a rainy day. Technology, we've been lag behind, and we need to, whether we have to reorganize that or something, that's something that you dip into fund balance, not these.
The priorities were brought forth and some were recommendations that the board had given us. However, it is at your discretion as the board to designate what you.
And I understand that. And that's why I said let's prioritize them to make sure that students first are addressed and that we're doing it. Because what I thought, if we didn't have to dip into fund balance and look at that policy, is that we could balance our budget and get rid of the other issues that weren't part of the budget process. Do you understand?
$89,000?
No, I'm talking about like these other small stuff. That's, I mean,
through the chair.
To me, that's not a to dip into our fund balance for.
Dr. Murphy.
Granted, the financial report writer, which we have discussed from the dais before, but all the other things came from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And to be on designated fund balance, the only reason these are on here is because you guys specifically wanted them to be on there.
Doc, but you had other items that needed to be on there, and there was out without discussion. Like, our roles as policymakers are to approve, adopt the budget, and actually have input within the budget. Some of these issues, some of this isn't part of ours, and you're putting it on us. I mean, you want to talk about, where are we? the customer service training. What we said is we need to provide a better customer service when it comes to our constituents, and now we have a $15,000 budget item to provide that training. You know, a lot of these I just don't see, you know, the asset management database. That was us.
It was brought to you, and last night.
That was us. Are you?
It was brought to you.
You said earlier that
by us to you.
Okay, so you see, that's a budget item. That's not, to me, that's not something to dip into fund balance.
But we didn't. Okay, this before last night, none of this money was in fund balance. It was funding that had come in. It had not been designated to be placed into fund balance.
And that's what I'm saying. There's a budget process where you analyze the situation, the issues that you need to, whether it's your goals or whether it's, you know, whether it's inventory controls, anything. You do that under your budget process. This is not, a lot of these issues should have been in the budget process. And now, yeah, we might have suggested something, and you might have looked at that to put it in the budget, but not, you know, towards the end is, okay, well, it's sort of like a...
So you're saying that on the pages where we have, and I don't know what slide it is, where we have all of the departmental budgets, we should have put it there, just thrown it in there and not had it out. Ms. Searles, I remember particularly on field trips, she wanted to see it in its own separate spot.
I did. I asked for that to see.
I mean, I could have just thrown it in the department budgets and you guys would have never seen it, but these were specifically brought to you and, you know, or you brought them to us as extra things. I could have just put them in the department budget and we wouldn't have even been talking about them tonight.
And the other half of them? I could understand where we came as a board and said, okay, this is something that we might want to see. But the other stuff, it just came in and it's, this is a budget priority and this is what we're going to do to dip into fund balance.
If I may, when we start the budget process, first we of course figure out the revenues and what the projections will be. Then the first item of you know, consideration is of course salaries. So we start making the allocations into, you know, the current salaries and how they will fit into the funding for the following year. Then we take also the required allocations for programs, you know, the 52% required for GT, the 55% required for CT&E, and all the different program requirements. And we also take the per capita allocations for the campuses. We look at projections as far as enrollment, and we consider those. Once those three items are considered, I have X amount of dollars. At that point, by then, we've already gone through DAC for budget priorities, which they're compiled, and those were the first couple of slides. When I present to the board the first budget projections, you will see, and if you recall, we had a 2.1 excess revenues over expenditures. That was where I had taken the basics that we consider continue, that are.
But we also didn't have the recapture of $1 million.
Because extra. We don't start working on the actual, the audit that we're working on, we start in June. So that information preliminarily isn't even available until the June. So when I provided that first presentation in April, all I give to you is the excess revenue over expenditures. And then that the discussions of compensation or the budget priorities and what do we need, what don't we need, that's where those discussions began. Now the ones that were brought forth through the DAC, those were almost automatic where everybody said, yes, technology is a must, you know, fine arts focus. So all those items were brought forth.
And didn't we allocate more money to that?
Yes.
Than what we have on this priority?
On the budget priorities?
Is this the DW technology infrastructure of 300,000, didn't we allocate more money to that?
Yes, last night.
But last night, our total budget, that's what was allocated for the full year? Like, didn't we need a catch up because
there was already allocations through the maintenance and operation budget.
And that's what I'm saying. If it's like a one-time investment of computers or technology, and it might have been 500 or maybe even a million, then that's something that is worthy to dip into the fund balance. And that's where the budget comes in to say, okay, this is something that's a one-time basis, and this is something that we're going to invest and put into it.
But the technology is actually in phases. You know, every year we're going to allocate into it.
And that's an allocation of the budget. What I'm saying is the investment of us ignoring it for the past couple of years because we weren't able to fund it, we should have said, okay, we're going to invest 500, whatever it was that we invested this year, and we're going to start allocating more money for technology, seeing that our budget is going to get healthier, and say, we're going to invest, you know, $750,000 in our technology infrastructure, and that's directly related to kids.
So what you would prefer seeing on this budget priority that was approved by resolution yesterday, you would have preferred that it said, instead of just 300 technology infrastructure, the allocations we had at M&O that were already discussed and automatically put in, taken out, put these in, it's just a different reflection. The funds are going to be the same because of...
Well, that's what we're doing, correct? We're investing. This coming year, we said we're going to invest more money in technology, and that was the same discussion I had with Dr. Murphy, and as a board, I said, and we came to a conclusion of saying we need to make sure that our kids have whatever we need to look at, whether it's iPads, whether it's laptops, that technology infrastructure, we need to make sure we invest because we've lacked because of the funding we haven't had, and now we do have funding, we need to put that in there.
And that's
something that is an investment and a one-time fee and not, you know, some of these other issues, which I don't see.
It's not a one-time fee.
Well, we're investing more this year. It's going to be recurring, mm-hmm. but it's going to be in less amounts till we actually catch up. But as a board, we said we wanted to invest in that. Do you get where I'm coming
yes.
from?
Okay.
I'll leave it at that right now.
I think I had gone through this slide. Or
yeah, that's where we were.
So at this point, we have a public comment and a section for public comment. Do you want to open it up?
We've got members of the public, Mr. Gallegos, Ms. Maldonado, Ms. Brigham. Anybody want to say anything? Sure.
I got a question.
Come on up, Mr. Gallegos.
Okay. 1 minute, introduce myself.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Please.
Madam Chair, Dr. Murphy, members of the board, for the record, Arturo Gallegos. My eyes are failing me, and I thought I saw yesterday and today. I don't know where it was, what slide it was, salaries perhaps. It was $213,000. What is that? I think it said, I think, like I said, my eyes are failing me. I think it said
Does that strike a chord with you, Ms. Aguirre?
Something, superintendent.
I think that's the total budget.
Oh,
associate superintendent. It is there. Basically, we didn't have a budget for an associate superintendent. There was no associate superintendent.
Right, because it was a zero and now.
Yes.
12.
For 12. And this current year, the associate superintendent has been hired, and she, Ms. Grigham, is our associate superintendent. She will have an administrative assistant, and then she has an operating budget. And so when you compile the salaries plus the operating budget, that's
the total of $213,589, whatever it was. But that's a combined?
Yes.
It's two salaries, benefits,
okay.
furniture, right. and operating.
All right, that answers my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gallegos.
Thank you.
Ms. Maldonado?
I have a couple of questions. On your marquee that you're spending or you're allocating or you're putting aside, I don't know what the word is, $80,000. That's a hefty amount. And I can see where some marquees need to be replaced or whatever, but at CE we did that through fundraising. We did that through fundraising. And I just feel that $80,000 could be put to better use for the students, not just to be a show type thing. Right now, I think that's not a priority in my eyes as a taxpayer. I think there are many more priorities for the students, playground, landscaping, safety issue type things than a marquee that says, wow, look at here, this is CHS or whatever. That's my opinion there on the marquees. The other issue is I was a member of the DAC, and in looking through the DAC priority issues, I don't recall that we ever covered library resources. And I know that in the past, every year, there's been money allocated for that. But how much money was allocated for library resources?
I believe it was a total of $90,000.
And I don't know, maybe my memory is failing, or maybe I'll go back to my notes, but I don't recall that being a DAC requirement. Maybe it was leadership.
I would like to mention that on that slide it says recommendations, and it says priorities compiled by DAC, leadership, and cabinet.
And is this for books?
Yes.
When you talk about it?
Yes. Last year, I think we spent out of the 90 that they received, I think that maybe 5,000 was sent back. I mean, because what we do, Ms. Maldonado, we sit with the librarians and we look at the current selection we have to get from TEA, you know, but also what we're doing is we're getting ready for the staff, and this is the first year that our librarians are going to sit in curriculum writing, and we're trying to align like novels and so this is all reading materials.
This is an area that did not have funding for several years in the past, and last year was one of the first years where we allocated the funds for resources.
And I do it, Ms. Maldonado, what I do is I do it per ADA for the students. We do it strictly by ADA, so that's how we do it. To allocate.
So and so that it's there's equality through the district, that one school doesn't get it all?
What I do is I look at the libraries following. I look at what Davenport has, what CE has, and what Garcia has. And would you believe it, we had less at Garcia because Garcia is new. Mm-hmm. So what I have to do is try to get an even playing ground, but make sure that some of the things that we get at CE and Davenport meet the curricular needs and the deficits that we see in the testing or maybe experiential, like you're talking about field trips, some of the same things. We have to get different books so that the kids can see that experience. But it's all books, Ms. Maldonado. Okay.
Does that answer your question, Ms. Maldonado?
Yes, I was just curious about okay. that because it didn't come up at that.
And
so.
You feel that's a good answer, and you're happy with that?
Well, it's a need. Okay. I mean, I know that since that at CE, we always allocated for library materials.
Okay.
Through our campus CIC. So, the other question I have, on the district-wide furniture, this does not include the new school? So we can say old campuses.
Current campus.
And then on the student activity bus, didn't we just purchase so many buses?
Yes, ma'am, we did purchase two small 14-passenger activity buses, and out of the bond, it was in the bond transportation equipment on the ballot, and the request is that we purchase one or possibly two larger buses to transport our kids when they go out of town in these areas. We're not exactly sure at this juncture exactly what type of bus, if it'll be one new or a couple refurbished, or we're going to have to research that and see what we're going to exactly do there.
And the other thing is on the, again, the priorities from DAC, leadership, admin, cabinet, under staff positions. I know that one major concern for DAC was the student to teacher ratio. And so I hope that you really do consider those positions to be to where they're going to impact the students. Whereas you're not going to have 40 kids to one student. Versus if there's a need to hire someone for admin or cabinet, that you oversee that and go with what the campus need is. One of the recommendations there, or what DAC was looking at, was, like, for instance, your 504 reading specialist. We cut down from 2 to 1 a couple years ago. And really, when that one 504 teacher specialist services the students, you're looking at 20 to 25 minutes. I mean, what kind of impact is that on the kid? Whereas we used to have 2, and they could go, their schedule could go anywhere from 30 to 45. Usually it was a 45-minute period. And to me, that is impacting the students because they're already struggling, so they need that service. And when you do away with that staff position, then now it's an overload to where, in order to service all those students, the schedule has to be shrunk. Okay, I have 20 minutes with fourth graders. Well, reality is, not much can be accomplished in those 20 minutes. So I hope that you consider, when you consider those staff positions, that you consider them for the benefit of the students at the campuses. Can you tell me if somebody mentioned something right now about addition to the pre-K? Has there been an additional amount allocated to pre-K based aside from what was already allocated?
That's what I asked too, but I think I was mistaken in what I was asking. It was under the fine arts.
Somebody just mentioned it right now. I don't know whether it was you, Ms. Earls, or somebody.
I asked, and I thought it was to the new pre-K 8.
It was a fine arts.
No. The fine arts, I understood.
Okay.
I understood the fine arts. But in one of the slides, something was mentioned.
Oh, it's the board started last year to designate some fund balance to the pre-K 8 as startup costs. There's actually a chance we won't even need them, although that's not 50-50. But just in case, when we go to open it, there are needs, we will have some money set aside to do that. Our goal is not to use all those funds and be able to put those back in the fund balance or allocate them for different items, but we do want to set aside some every year as we get closer to opening it so that we can have it if we need it.
Okay, the bond covering for the building, correct? It covered for new furniture, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, it was in there, Mr. Bonner, to furnish the school, right?
The complete building is supposed to be in there.
I can't be here this week.
I don't know if we financed student desks over 20 years in a bond. I don't know if that was actually in
the bond. No.
All right, was there any monies allocated, additional monies allocated to extend the size of the building?
Well, when we went out for the bond, we didn't know the size of the building. There was a budget.
But the designer gave you how many classrooms, more or less, there were going to be, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so has there been a change to that design plan within the last 2 weeks, let's say?
No, in fact, but the design has not been approved yet. So although they have come up with a lot of schematics, it hasn't come back before the board. It is looking like they will price out a couple of alternative options for the board to look at if they want to do A, B, if they don't want to do either one as they go forward.
My point is that I just hope that when all these issues come up to before you, board members, that you really do consider. I mean, it's great that we're having a pre-K and that we've allocated a sum of money, but I know the growth is going to be coming eventually, but right now the growth is here in the valley. And a lot of our campuses do need those repairs and do need those additional things that were included in the bond. You know, take a look at the campuses. The playgrounds are, they're terrible. They're full of rocks. Their maintenance, you know, the grass, the weeds. But because we don't have a maintenance crew on each campus, you have to wait till it's your turn to come around so that it can be taken care of. You know, I think that it should go back to where you have your maintenance people at the campus to take care of the needs of those campuses. But the playgrounds, the full of rocks, there's no landscaping. And this is all where our students play, our own children. So I really do hope that you're not going to take, what's the saying, from Paul to give to Mary, or Mary to give to Paul,
Peter and Paul.
That, yeah. that you're going to take to add to the new school when we've already allocated a set amount, when you told the bond, when you told the residents, okay, this is how much is going to be going to the new school, that we don't take on the list that takes away from the schools in the valley. And Dr. Murphy, you and I have had this conversation even before the bond passed. And I am really, really, really adamant that you don't do that. That you don't do that.
I agree completely.
You know, we need to take care of our current campuses and their needs.
And our current students as well.
Maintaining them is what's going to give them prolonged life. You maintain them, and they're going to continue to service our students. So I hope you consider that.
Correct. And I just want to make sure that everyone understands that the HVAC program, the new air conditioning across the district, is going forward. We are working with two firms now, an architecture firm and an energy management firm, and we will be 100% across the district making the HVAC conversion as we promised in the bond, for sure.
Mr. Coronado, did you have a finger up and want to say something?
Probably you heard that one of the issues that I'm concerned about in the new school is that, you know, what the proposed amount of capacity for the elementary side is okay on the new PK through 8. I don't think it's okay for the middle school kids. And so I think we probably need to create either an alternate or build out just a shell to be able to expand the middle school kids in the future of the PK through 8.
Well, again, I just hope that it does, you don't take from the students that are already in this district and are already here at these campuses that, oh, well, you're going to have to erase this one so that we can make this bigger. I really hope that you don't. I hope that you find other means. Now, being on the CBAC, we've been presented with stuff where, because we're doing a lot of things in-house, we're saving money. And that's one of the questions that we've been asking is, that savings, where is that savings going to go?
Those savings, they stay within the bond funds. We cannot commingle them with our maintenance and operation. And at this point, there is one general account, and as the projects are presented and approved by the board, then we pull from that pool into a designated account designated for that specific project.
But very well, with that said, you could very well take those savings and address Mr. Coronado's needs, because it is under bond. As a bond issue,
it's
the new school,
within the bond.
Correct?
Well, it's within the bond and as the board designates.
Well, again, I will reintegrate what I just said, is that I really hope you don't forget the schools in the valley and the needs that we have right now. And I feel that if the design was made for a certain amount, why don't we wait to see if that's what it's going to be? And if need be to add, I think that I seriously, personally think that can wait. There are much other needs here that can't. You know, some of these campuses have been waiting for improvements since the 2006 bond. It didn't happen. And it's time for them not to be forgotten anymore. I mean, I'm at a campus right now where I cannot believe that forgotten campus. Seriously. I cannot believe how that campus is the way it is. And I talked to Dr. Murphy. I feel it's the forgotten campus, and it's one of our older campuses. So, you know, and this is the thing. People don't speak up. People don't let you know, whatever. But you need to be aware of every campus in our district and know exactly what the needs are, and let's take care of those needs, you know. And if it means, and I really seriously hope that you consider this too, if it means to hire, like we used to have our maintenance crews at our own campuses, maybe that's a fix, you know, so that it doesn't go unfixed, or if it breaks down, you have to wait, you know, just the air conditioner pump. If it breaks down, somebody used to be able to go and fix it from our campus. Now, you have to wait. You have to put in a purchase order, and you have to wait till they get around to it. So if it breaks again, you know, the kids, everybody in that classroom is without air conditioning until they get around to it. You know, to me, you should have someone on the campus like you used to take care of maintenance, to water, to anything that breaks down so that it can be taken care of immediately. And in the long run, in my opinion, it's going to be less money that you're going to invest than if you wait and wait and wait. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Maldonado. Yes, sir.
Yes, I've got one more comment, please. Since Dr. Murphy opened this up, the conversion to for air conditioners, you mentioned something like that. You said there's two vendors, I believe.
The board has chosen an architect that needs to design the HVAC system across, and then they've chosen an energy management firm to make sure that we put in the most efficient, cost-effective system across each school.
When, okay, my question is, when will this be available to the public, the two firms?
They were here less than 2 weeks ago and gave a 30-minute presentation.
Missed that.
We are putting together a road show in August and September in which the administration and whoever board wants to join we'll go to every campus in the district and present a 1 year history of where we are on the bond.
My main concern really is with the vendors. When it's going to be made, like you said, they were here, I missed it. But can we get that made out to the public? Can we get it out from Mr. Reveles?
Yes, and we directed Mr. Bellis in the last couple of months to do a more robust effort in the communicator and in divisions.
Fantastic.
We're going to be working hard on that. And we look forward to coming around also when school comes back in and sharing with every campus where we are.
Sounds good. Thank you.
We also have the CMAP.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much, Ms. Maldonado and Mr. Gallegos. We appreciate you being here and
of course.
And caring.
Thank you.
I think that's all the public comment. And with that, I move to adopt the 2012-2013 budget in the amount shown by fund and function, an M&O budget of $50,935,617 with an INS budget of $6,189,403.
Do we have the resolution?
The ordinance. Tony's got the ordinance. We also have.
That's for the tax rate.
Second the motion.
Motion made and seconded to adopt the budget as read. Tony?
Mr. Farnell?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes. And now, Ms. Aguirre, would you, or?
The motion, it's on the second page.
Mm-hmm. Item C, consider approval of ordinance adopting 2012-13 tax rate.
This should be a resolution.
Mm-hmm. I have it.
Do you have the full resolution?
No. That's all I have. It's an ordinance. So what I'm hearing here is I move to adopt the fiscal year 2012-2013 mm-hmm. proposed tax rate of maintenance and operations at $1.17, interest and sinking at 0.2521. And that would bring us to a total tax rate. Do we need to add that in?
Yes, you can. That's at $1.42.
At total tax rate of $1.42, which, for the public's knowledge, that's the same as it was last year. It didn't go up any.
That's here.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Motion made and seconded.
It's the same M&O at $1.17 and the same INS at 0.25.
It's the exact same, $1.42. Motion made and seconded to adopt the proposed tax rate as read.
Mr. Farnham?
Yes.
Mrs. Lattani?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes. And that would take us to number three, adjournment. And the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Aguirre.
How does that feel?